book. So we go back to the original and go from there. We're going to finish our video today, the Outsider's Look of the Lutheran Church, our Missouri Synod, which we started last week. Take any other questions or comments on that. Before next week, we'll start back into our study of the Scriptures, season of Advent, the text pertaining to the coming of Christ in preparation for that. Let's begin with prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you as your people, still in need of your mercy and your forgiveness, which you freely grant to us through your word and sacrament. We thank you for that blessing of life and salvation that we have in Jesus through the forgiveness of sins. We pray that you would continue to enkindle within us that faith and also the desire to share that love of Christ with others in all that we say and do. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us this upcoming week as we celebrate Thanksgiving, remembering all the good things that you have given us throughout our lifetime, especially this last year. We ask that you would guide us now in the study of your word and the study of the Christian faith for the strengthening of that faith to life everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Any questions about texts for today? Scripture lesson, last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday. Again, I was looking that up, and it's only been the last 1925. That's when it was instituted or begun within the church, recognizing the last Sunday of the church year as Christ the King Sunday. So not something that's been pervasive throughout church history, but relatively new. So there you go. We are revolutionary, right? Novelty of Christ the King Sunday, last Sunday of the church year. But any questions, comments on that? Okay, well, we'll get back to our video. Again, I think they were to the baptismal font, right? Talking about baptism. I know he looks back at the stained glass windows talking about the Trinity, but hopefully we're to that point and a little bit beyond, but this will kind of get us caught up. So if it looks unfamiliar or you have questions, just tell me to stop and we'll go from there.
And we'll go from there.
Sam's going to have to start having a technology course.
Yeah, I guess. Don't just push the button. I must have to hold a certain position.
Right.
Refresh, reboot. Oh, there you go. A class of patience, maybe, then. This part, right? Goes up and sees the Trinity on the board and stuff. Yeah, I'm a little afraid to do anything, but I'm going to try and move us forward. He gets up here, talks about Trinity. Yeah, there you go.
Please work.
Froze. Good.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
never heard of Director of Dynamics, but it makes sense that we really experience the richness of that through his whole life. We want to find a way to communicate that way, in fact, the way that we manage the first one person was the first.
Actually a proponent of having the altar be free from the law. The Lutheran Church, by and large, There's an exclusivity that really made me scratch my head. if this stuff is interesting to you, if this is the kind of thing you want to see happen in the world, I would be so grateful if you would consider clicking that subscribe button if you haven't already, clicking that little gray notification bell so you actually find out when I publish videos. That would be awesome to know. If not, no big deal. Either way, I hope that no matter where you land on the spectrum of faith, Catholic, not Catholic, Orthodox, something completely different, reject.
All right, I think we can stop him there because he's just going to keep going on like that. Hit the lights because I don't think we need any more video. And we got that up there. Okay. All right, any questions or comments? Yeah, Jim, go ahead.
I missed last Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, we'll rewind and go back.
No, it's okay. Did he identify which church he attends?
He didn't name a specific denomination, but he said it's a Protestant background. So I would assume more of the, it sounds more conservative, probably Presbyterian, and maybe even more of the conservative arm of that. Because, yeah, like he said, his version comes out of the Reformation. So, but yeah, that carries its own conversation too. So, yeah, other questions, comments about today's topic or anything from last week too? Yeah, Byron?
I heard once the Lutheran Church had a divided altar rail. There's a need for that.
A divided altar rail? What do you mean, like two of them?
No, I mean side to side, not focused in the center.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the reason is behind that. Have you heard?
Well, as I remember,
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And we close it off for communion here just so we have full access all the way across for communing purposes. But that makes sense that it's not closed so that we do have access along with the structure of the shape, the chancel up there too. That is now the chancel. That is the sacred area. We don't want to take that lightly. We have access then, yeah, because of what Christ has done. Yeah, Jim.
I just thought it was really interesting how he said he'd been doing this, and that for every other church that denomination that he's visited so far, that this was totally different than those other visits.
Yeah.
That he couldn't do the same thing that he did with the other denominations. I just thought that was interesting.
With regard to what specifically?
Well, he said it took him literally 2 hours, and it probably would have taken longer.
Right.
If he hadn't shortened some of the conversation, because the pastor was really able to explain things to him, and more in depth. I'm not saying the other pastors and the other denominations couldn't, but they didn't.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where in his series of videos this one falls chronologically, who he's been to before this. I know he has visited a Catholic church and a Greek Orthodox church, also an evangelical free church. I'm not sure if he's visited other Protestant or non-denominational churches. I haven't seen those videos. Again, if it's after the evangelical free one that he does this one, then that would certainly apply. Because you go to the evangelical free church and the structure is not designed for any type of real confession like Pastor Whedon was saying here. It's done more as kind of a comfortable, homey type atmosphere that you want people to come into and just relax. And he said this, I think, in last week's segment, how much involvement there is from the people in a Lutheran service in reaction and conversation with the pastor, as opposed to a non-denominational church, evangelical free church, those types where you kind of just sit there and you're watching the show in a sense. Okay, so there's that kind of distinction that he makes there between the two different churches. When he goes into the Catholic churches and the Orthodox church, he gets the same type of experience going through and asking questions about all the different things he's seeing in there as well. I don't know if it took a full 2 hours, but coming out of his background, it makes sense that, yeah, he's seeing this for the first time. This is what Lutherans teach and believe about all this stuff, all the gospel. Okay, other comments, questions? Overall take from the video?
Yeah, Dan?
I was just going to say that. To me, the guy's background sounds more like he's in a non-denominational Protestant church, most of which, about 85% of them, are Baptists in their confession of their doctrine. But then they do it in a very contemporary setting.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's hard to say. I don't know specifically where he's coming from. From what he said based on the comment about the Word of God and that history there, I don't think he's coming out of a Baptist theology. Again, I think it's a little more conservative theologically, like, a Presbyterian type thing, because I don't think he's against or uncomfortable with infant baptism. As opposed to an evangelical free or non-denom who would say, no, you don't do that. I could be wrong on that, but I'm trying to think of the other videos I've seen if he ever comments on that. Yeah,
he does a couple of interviews on issues, et cetera, and he talks through a little bit more.
Okay. I haven't heard that, so can you fill us in? What's the background? Put you on the spot. So, yeah, that makes it sound like it's a non-denomination type thing. Because, yeah, if you're not wanting to commit to a doctrine or a confession of faith, then that's probably where you land. Unfortunately. So then, if that's the case, most non-denominational churches would not be for infant baptism. Would not be for, you know, even the means of grace, word, and sacrament. They don't believe it communicates, gives actual forgiveness of sins, but it's something you do as a mandate from Christ, and it's just something that we are obligated to do as a good thing, as a remembrance, but it doesn't actually give you grace.
Thank you. Others? Joe?
I thought it was really interesting to watch and see. Confessing what you believe without trying to dunk on the guy, or it was not done combatively. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to see people of goodwill and different opinions discuss something
right
without anyone, you know, trying to stick to the other.
Yeah, and that's something this guy does comment on in his other videos too, but he's thankful everyone's been open to the seemingly honest interaction. It's not, he's not there with an agenda. He's not trying to catch them in anything. He's just trying to inform his audience, which seems to be pretty, you know, respectable. And I think that's good that we have that out there, and that's why I think there's value in this, that, you know, for us too, we take so much for granted because it's been a part of our lives for so long that now we get to kind of see it from an outside view, different lens, and say, okay, why do we do this? Why do we have these things? Okay, why do we stick to a hymnal and not put things up on a screen? Well, why do we have crucifixes in the front of the church and not just empty crosses? Okay, you know, why is the church shaped the way it is? Why are we all sitting in pews facing the front and not in a normal gathering hall type setting? Okay, so lots of good food for thought there. Okay, other observations? Anything in the video you heard that you didn't know before about our Lutheran church or about other Lutheran churches? Structure or theology or design? Yeah, Gerald?
I thought it was interesting that you made a comment that everybody subscribes to kind of the same theology, but that we all practice a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you get tied up and doing things a certain way.
Yeah, I think that's sometimes an easy out, to try and gloss over the differences of practice. Usually practice, though, reflects theology. Rarely, especially in a Lutheran church, do we do a practice that isn't based on our theology, especially when it comes to the service. So it's something where, yeah, I think he can say that, oh, yeah, that's what I believe. Oh, that's what I believe. As a Lutheran, we got to think, okay, if that's what you believe, then why don't you do this, right? Because we don't think that there's three different ways of practicing baptism. We're believing about baptism. Now, we believe there's different modes. The mode doesn't matter, but we believe that it actually does give forgiveness. That's what the Bible says. So if that theology is the same, then why doesn't every Protestant denomination believe the same thing, right? Or why don't they practice it the same way? right? So what you believe does come out in how you practice. And so that's kind of the misnomer that's out there, or the misconception. Well, we all believe the same thing. We just have different ways of expressing it. That's a danger, right? Again, we can't legalize things. We're not making it into a law. But you can't also say, well, we're free to do it however we want, so we're going to do it in a way that's inconsistent with the Scripture. So yeah, I think, again, that happens a lot. We hear that a lot. And within our own families, right? And even with our own conversations. Okay, well, we really are all the same. We all believe in the same thing, so it's just a little tit-for-tat type thing. I think it's a little bit more serious than that. Okay, otherwise, we wouldn't make a big deal out of it. We wouldn't hold as fast and hard to the Scriptures. Okay, and to the confession, our Lutheran identity that we've got. Okay. Good. Others, comments, thoughts, impressions?
How you doing? Mike?
Yeah, good. Yeah, again, and ours has that too. It's kind of fall over the side, but that's on there as well, the five crosses, the five wounds of Christ. Again, what's the altar? What are we supposed to think about the altar in church?
Where Christ is sacrificed.
Okay. Now, are we sacrificing Christ again in church? No, that's not the belief that we have there. We believe, though, that it reminds us of that sacrifice, and it reminds God of that sacrifice, right? So the altar, we say, is kind of that touchdown, that connecting point between earth and heaven, right? Where the what Christ has done upon the cross is remembered as a sacrifice for us, and as a result of that, then, yeah, we have the forgiveness of sins as his body and blood come to us in that word. So altars are significant. How we utilize them is important. Okay, as a location, concrete, for God's presence in our midst.
Dan? I think the video is good, and it kind of should point out a concern that we should all have. People that come and visit us, and they're not used to a confessional liturgical service. I think because they don't know where they're at and all the time and stuff, it can be a turnoff to them. Even though they're anxious to hear the word and preach, they probably love the sermon, they probably like the hymns, but you got to decide, how do I stand up and sit down? And it is confusing. To be honest, it's confusing to me sometimes when we do services where we jump a lot from the bulletin to the, just this morning we went to play a hymn,
right.
And I wasn't ready for that because I was not intelligent enough to search the bulletin first. So I can understand why somebody that's just here visiting. And one of the things I like, we put in the pew a little pamphlet that explains what each section of the liturgy does.
Yeah.
And if somebody looks at that, I think that would be a good explanation for them. But I also think that there should be some kind of information on how to point out to them that we understand for a liturgical service, that's going to be what they're used to, and we should, the pastor would love to meet with them and go through something to make that part of it more user-friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he does two other follow-up videos with Pastor Whedon talking about the theology, and the comment he makes there is kind of humorous or amusing. Your theology, what you teach and what you believe, it's not really marketable. Right, it's not really easy to get out en masse to people and have them just expose and experience it, boom, like we're so used to. Right, it is something that is difficult to digest because it's different from what we're used to. And that's the beauty, like Joe said, that you actually have this conversation going on, that somebody is willing to ask the questions and someone is willing to answer them. And in a humble, honest way, not in a shove it down your face, this is just the way it is type thing. And that's the beauty of Lutheranism. And in the conversation he has with the Greek Orthodox priest, he kind of knocks the Catholic Church and would then knock the Lutheran Church as well for following more of a formulaic understanding of the faith, systematic theology, actual way of thinking as it flows from the Scripture. But that's the beauty of this, right? That we have a belief and we can then explain why it is we believe that based on the Scriptures and the teachings that's there. So we don't have to keep our questions back. We can ask them. One guy told me a long time ago, I like being Lutheran because I don't have to check my brain at the door, right? I can go in, I can observe, I can ask questions, I can get answers, okay, where they are available. Okay, so we have that, and we have that opportunity. We love to teach, we love to learn. There's a lot to do that. Okay, but as we highlighted or mentioned last time, Christian's not here again, or the Rayberg, any baby, but when you're first starting to walk, it's one little thing at a time, right? It's not an easy thing. It's difficult, okay? But after you get used to it and practice and get better, it becomes second nature. Now, I think about this when I walk down the hall. Okay, am I thinking about moving my legs, every little thing? I'm just willing it, and it happens. Right? So familiarity, repetition then breeds that familiarity. And that's kind of what Pastor Whedon said. People here, it's easy for them because they've been through it. They know it. And that's what we want people to. You got to give it time. Okay? Give us some weeks, right? Come and visit. Don't just say once, boom, and then that's it. Give us a couple weeks. Get familiar with it. Get used to it. And you'll see it doesn't change much from week to week. Right? The readings do, the hymns do, and yes, we go different versions of divine service throughout the month. But ultimately, it's the same idea, the same thing is going on. Laura?
As a person who brought to these services from infancy, I can vividly remember as a child that I worried a lot because when all the older people were dead, who would know when to get up?
That's right. Yeah, without them leading the way, you wouldn't know what to do, right? But did you have to worry about that? You knew what to do, didn't you? You learned, and we all learned, and we just follow, right? And we lead, you know, the people lead who know, and then we follow the example, right? So, yeah, that's part of growth. And ultimately, I mean, that's what we want, right? I know we live in a world where, you know, information is readily available, and we view stuff on our phones and computers that in snippets we can't pay attention. I mean, even reading the newspaper, every paragraph is one sentence. Right, we can't look at a 5, 6, 7, 8 line sentence or sentence paragraph. We need it bit by bit because we're just so deprived, I guess, in that way. So to sit in a church like ours that is steeped in tradition and systematic in that way, yeah, it's a shock to the system. But you can get used to it and you can grow from that too. Yeah, Letty. Yeah. And we do that on festival Sundays, you know, life events of Christ, things like that, to kind of, I think the theology or the idea behind it is that when the gospel's read, it is the spoken word of Christ, that he actually spoke himself while here on earth, and we want that to be understood in the midst of the people, right? So it's, that's what Jesus did. He spoke in crowds, in groups of people. And so when the gospel's read, it's done within the the whole company of in the midst of the people. And they do it at every service that way, which nothing wrong with that, but nothing wrong with the way we do it either. Some churches don't even do that in a processional for the holy days or the feast days. It's always from the front. Okay? And so again, we don't make rules or laws out of that per se, but we try to see the value in it and stand by that until told otherwise. Dan?
In that last part where we didn't watch, how does Pastor Wheat, how does he talk about the reason we don't have others commune?
Oh, yeah.
They need to be taught our theology and that. Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Yeah, he dwells on the idea of lack of confession of the same things. And as individuals is one thing, but we each as an individual represent other bodies if we're not part of this church. So we have to recognize that. And so you might say certain things, but he kind of put it this way. When we say this is the body of Christ, this is his blood, can you say amen to that? Can you agree to that? If you can't, or your church body you belong to doesn't, then we don't have that fellowship there. And we're not going to pretend like we do, because that would be calling Christ a liar, right? Because Christ says, this is my body. So if you don't believe it is, then what are you saying about what Jesus teaches and what he says it is? And we don't want to do that. And that's kind of what Whedon does there too. We kind of just go with what Jesus says. We don't challenge it. We don't question it. We try to understand it as best we can. But if we can't grasp it, that's okay. We're just going to let him be in charge because he's God after all. If we don't get it, that's on us, not on him. But if he says it's his body, then it is. How? We don't know. But we don't care either because he gets to do what he wants to do. That's kind of what he says. But that's kind of the reason he gives there, that we want to, again, understand the Lord's Supper. It's not to create unity. It's already a manifestation of unity, right? It's to show that we already have that fellowship, and that's why we gather there, okay? So it's the reason for it, not the cause of it. Okay, yeah, Joel? Right. No, I don't. I've been to funerals in non-Lutheran churches where it has been offered, actually non-Missouri Synod Lutheran churches, so ELCA churches, and they've offered it, and I don't go up. And I've been to Catholic ones, and I don't go up for that either. And Catholic, well, if it's a traditionally Catholic church, it won't allow non-Catholics to commune. So they'll practice that too. But yeah, no, I will refrain, and I encourage us to do that as well. Right? That's the expectation. And again, it's not a, but in that action, you are confessing your faith then too. Right? And they may ask you, why didn't you commune? Oh, just tell them you're Lutheran, they'll understand. I'm a Missouri Synod. Oh, you're one of those guys, right? But it is a confession that kind of you're speaking by saying no, right? That no, I can't do that in good conscience. I want to. I don't want there to be this divide, but there is. And we can't pretend that it's not there. So, yeah, that's the encouragement that's there, the understanding as Lutherans, that's what we practice. We're not going to take the time because it gets, I mean, each one is about 35 minutes, and so we want to get back to our study of the scriptures, but you're welcome to at any point, and if you want to ask questions about it in another Bible class, I'm happy to answer whatever comes the way. I viewed the other one, so definitely ready to go on that, but yeah, it's definitely interesting. All right, got to close with the blessing and go forth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go forth in peace.